Good morning, everyone. Before we begin, let's ask God's blessing on our coming together. Father, we commit ourselves to Thee and ask that as we open Thy Word, that everything that may be said may be led of Thy Holy Spirit. We ask, Father, that the Lord Jesus might be lifted up. We pray especially, Father, for those that may be here that are without Christ, that this morning may be the morning of mornings for them, that the Lord Jesus might be revealed in all His preciousness and loveliness to them, that they may be in a hurry to be saved. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you turn with me, please, to Exodus, the book of Exodus. We'll be reading a few verses in chapter 11 and chapter 12. Now I know today is Palm Sunday, and I tried as hard as I could to find a Palm Sunday message, but the Lord kept impressing on my heart something to do with the Passover, so you'll have to bear with me. This is an Easter message a week early, but we must be obedient. Exodus chapter 11. And verse 4. And Moses said, Thus saith the Lord, About midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of beasts. There shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it any more. But against the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue against man or beast. That you may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. Chapter 12, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months, it shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the soul. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. The whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. They shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses, wherein they shall eat it, and they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread. The bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire. His head with his legs and with the pertinence thereof. Ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall you eat it, your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Ye shall eat it in haste, it is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you. When I smite the land of Egypt. Verse 23. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel, and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door, and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. The Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. The Passover lamb. In the passages we have just read, first of all, we have the sentence delivered. The way of escape described. A land desired. The land determined. Your land dispatched. The sentence delivered. Chapter 11 and verse 5 reads, all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die. Throughout Scripture, Egypt is used as a picture of the world. Here were the children of Israel in bondage in Egypt. And the sentence of God is pronounced. All the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die. We compare this with other scriptures. Romans 5 and verse 12 says that death passed unto all men in that all have sinned. We are all born into the world, born into that bondage to sin. And the sentence of God upon all is death. For you see, God is righteous. The scripture says that God says, I will by no means spare the guilty. God is a righteous God. And he cannot pass over sin. Where he finds sin, he must judge it. Now there are many in the world today who are like Pharaoh. When Moses first of all went to Pharaoh and gave him the message of God, let my people go, Pharaoh's reaction was, well, who is the Lord that I should obey him? He did not know the Lord. He had no conception of who God was. And he hardened his heart. There may be some in the audience today who are like that. You may have no conception really of who God is. You may have no conception of the holiness and the righteousness of God. You may have no conception that you are under sentence of death already for your sin. And it may be that you are like Pharaoh, hardening your heart and saying, who is the Lord that I should obey? Now you may not say that in as many words, but you may say it by what you do. And if you're not prepared to obey the Lord, then that's what you're saying by your action. Who is the Lord that I should obey? You know, we read a very solemn warning. After that Pharaoh hardened his heart, we read also that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Now, this is a very difficult thing. But the truth of the matter is this. The message of God comes to all of us and tells us that we are sinners. Of course, we don't like that. We like to think that we're as good as the next person. And if the message of God comes to you time and time and time again, that you are a sinner, and you reject that message, then the same thing will happen to you, happen to Pharaoh. Your heart will be hardened. This is a solemn thing. Because while God is righteous and holy, he's also merciful. Who is a pardoning God like thee? Or who has grace so rich and free? And what an astonishing thing it is to exhaust the patience of God. But Pharaoh did it. He had every opportunity. First of all, God came and he touched his circumstances. And Pharaoh hardened his heart. And then God touched his possession. And he hardened his heart. And then God touched what was nearest and dearest to his heart, his firstborn son. Now this is the way God normally works. If he can speak to you through circumstances, he will do that. And if that doesn't work and you harden your heart, he may speak to you through your possessions. And if that doesn't work, then he may speak to you through those nearest and dearest to you. And if that doesn't work, he may speak to your very person. For God is infinitely patient, infinitely merciful, and while he is righteous and holy and must punish sin, he will always provide an escape. The escape described is in verse 13. The blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. The plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. You see, all of those in the land of Egypt were under sentence. And if there had been any of those of the children of Israel foolish enough not to heed the word of the Lord, and not to place the blood of the lamb upon the doorposts and the lintel, then their firstborn would have died also. But God provided a way of escape. And today, of course, he provides a way of escape for us. In Ephesians 1 and chapter 7, we read, we have redemption through his blood, that is the Lord Jesus. And he is our Passover lamb. And as the Passover lamb was the way of escape for those children of Israel in the land of Egypt, so the Lord Jesus and his sacrifice is the way of escape for us out of this present evil and wicked world. The only way of escape. And if there are any foolish enough not to apply the blood of the Lord Jesus to the doorposts and lintel of their heart, then will death come in. I want you to come with me in your imagination to that night and to imagine what it must have been like for those that were unprotected. What a horror there must have been. What grief there must have been. Worst of all, perhaps, was not knowing why. Why is this thing happening? But for those here that are without protection from the wrath of God, because they have not applied the blood of the Lord Jesus to their heart, when spiritual death comes, you will not have the opportunity to say why, because you will know. And it may be that this service will come to your mind, and you may say, I was given the opportunity. I know why I'm here. But come with me also to the little home, the little earthen home of the children of Israel. The blood is upon the door. And all around, they may hear the wail of the grief of the Egyptians whose firstborn have died. But inside their humble little home, there is safety. And inside their humble little homes, there is hope. So they are protected. And the blood is the protection. And as the Lamb's blood was their protection, so the Savior's blood may be your protection today from the destroying angel. From that one who would seek to devour your soul. The children of Israel had been in bondage for 430 years. It's a long time. 430 years. There were none of them alive that had come into Egypt. What they knew, their home was not Egypt. They knew that they had been promised the land by God that flowed with milk and with honey. And the scripture says, the Lord heard their cry. Their cry has come up to me, he said. And it was time for them to be delivered. How many years have you been in bondage? How many years have you been in the world? You've been offered a land flowing with milk and honey, spiritually speaking. You've been offered deliverance from the bondage of the world and from the burden of the Egyptians that's been placed on you. Have you cried to God for deliverance? For he does provide a way of escape. Now you know, the rain, when it comes, falls on everybody. There's no one that I know that can avoid it. When the rain comes, you get wet, except if you have an umbrella. Or if you have a raincoat. Now if someone walked out in the rain, who had access to an umbrella, but preferred to walk out in the rain and get wet, you'd say, well, what a foolish person. But there are people, there may be people in here who are at this moment under the reign of God's wrath. It's fallen. And the umbrella, the protection is near at hand, it's available, but you won't avail yourself of it. Now if it's foolish to walk out in the rain, and get wet when you have access to an umbrella, how much more foolish to walk consciously under sentence of death from Almighty God when the protection is nigh at hand? The word of escape is near to you, even in your mouth, that if you should confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And the Lord Jesus is pictured for us as the Lamb. First of all, we have a Lamb desired. Verse 3. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And this we might call the world's view of the Lord Jesus. Just a lamb. One lamb, perhaps, among many. They had so many lambs. So many sheep. And you shall take a lamb. But the scripture says, in Isaiah 53, he was a lamb led to the slaughter. And these particular lambs were brought up with the family. All the children knew the lamb. They might even have called them by name. They were all shepherds. That was how they got food. They raised their own sheep. And the children would have been very familiar with the lamb. They may have been pets. And there may be those of you here today that have an easy familiarity with the Savior. You've been brought up hearing the gospel from the time you were very young. And you may be very familiar with it. And some of the children, and even some of the adults, may have been tempted to ask, can really such a little lamb do all of this? Can just the blood of this small lamb protect us from the destroying angel of God? And it may be that there are some of you here that think really that the gospel is too simple. Can it really be that simple? Can simple faith in the sacrifice of the Savior, is that really enough? Can that really afford me protection? But you know, the Israelites painted the blood on the door, and they were protected. If you place your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, so will you be protected from the wrath of God and from the destroying angel. Now, you may not understand it. You may not understand how even your small faith can be sufficient. You see, it's not your faith that's sufficient. It's your faith in a great God, that He is sufficient. The lamb was determined, verse 4. If the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. And this we might call God's view of the Passover lamb. God's beloved son. You know the scripture says that in 1 Peter 1, verse 19, that the Lord Jesus was the Lamb foreordained before the foundation of the world. What an amazing thing. Before the world was created, God thought of you. And the Lamb was foreordained. And another scripture says, He was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. So that as far as God is concerned, Calvary was accomplished before the world began. Because He determined that He should do it. Calvary became a reality in time, but to God, and to God's Passover lamb, the Lord Jesus, Calvary was always a reality. Was ever before them. Because that was the purpose for which He came into the world. The Lamb was marked for death. And that was the reason He came into the world. He was marked for death. He came in with the sole purpose of dying for our sins. And as the Lamb grew up with the children and was known, so He grew up and was known. But His purpose was perhaps not known, save only to Himself, and to a small band of followers to whom He revealed it. And even they were very reluctant to believe it. Not so, Lord, Peter said. They were very reluctant to believe that that was His purpose, but it was. From before the foundation of the world. But there's something else here that I don't want to pass over. It should be taken according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. In other words, the Passover lamb had to be sufficient for everyone to eat. Everyone had to have his portion. So that all might be satisfied with the Passover lamb. And so it is with our Lord Jesus. He is sufficient. He is sufficient for our eating. to satisfy all that we need. There may be an aching longing in your heart for you don't know what. He will fill it. You know, someone has said that inside of every heart there is a God-shaped vacuum. And until God comes into your heart and fills it, there will be that aching, that longing, that nameless fear. But if you take the Savior as your protection this morning, the promise of God to you is that He is enough. Jesus, Thou art enough the mind and soul to fill. And He is. And there are any number here, I hear amens here and there, there are any number here who have been saved for any number of years who will tell you, yes, Jesus is enough. He is always enough. It also says, nothing of it should remain until the morning, verse 10. That which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And this brings to mind the burnt offering. This was given to the children of Israel later on as they were wandering in the wilderness. And the burnt offering was given for sin. And all of it had to be burnt. Totally consumed. And that speaks of what happens to our sin. When it's placed on the Lord Jesus, it's totally consumed. Brings to my mind also Mount Carmel. Now Mount Carmel, we were there in Israel some time ago. On Mount Carmel, Elijah contended with the priests of Baal. 400 of them. And they wet the sacrifice with water. And the priests of Baal chanted and chanted until they were tired. And they cut themselves with knives and fell down. And nothing happened. And Elijah prayed. It says the fire of God came down and consumed the sacrifice. And the altar. You know, there was another hill in that same land of Israel. Some years later, and another sacrifice, God's Passover lamb. And there the fire of God fell also. You know, at Mount Carmel, the fire of God consume the sacrifice, but when we come to Calvary, we find the sacrifice of God consumed the fire. He took it all. All our sin was laid upon Him. He bore it all for us and came through and is alive evermore at God's right hand. The Lamb determined. Your Lamb dispatched, verse 5. Your Lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year, shall take it out from the sheep or from the goat, shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And this we might call the believer's view of the Lord Jesus, your Lamb. He is our Lamb, our Redeemer. And we can say with Paul in Galatians 2:20, the Son of God loved me and gave Himself for me. Can you say that this morning? Can you say that the Son of God loved you and gave Himself for you? He did, you know. But is He your Lamb? Have you applied the blood of His sacrifice to the doorposts of your heart? It also says, without blemish and without spot. Perfection was required for atonement in Deuteronomy 15 and 21. You can read that. Nothing that was offered to the Lord could have any imperfection whatever. God requires perfection in his sacrifices. And so the lamb on this night had to be carefully inspected and watched for 14 days to notice if there was any blemish, there was any spot, anything wrong with them. And so was the Lord Jesus inspected. He lived his life for 3 years among men. And what do we hear? Never man spake like this man. And more important, we read 3 times over that the heavens opened and the approval of God was pronounced. This is my beloved Son. He